The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. St. John Paul II recognized this among Christians, that is, from among those who follow Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life for the salvation of the world. But when we are attached to the things of this world, we are a miserable and fearful people because we think miserably and fearfully. We will even acknowledge that the world will tell us what we want to hear in order for it to get what it wants, and we willingly believe it. I suppose that the tickling of our ears are more suitable to us than is the change that the Lord expects of us to follow him. The good news is that we do not have to live according to the way of the world, and our Lord rising from the dead is all the reason we need. Good news. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. From our first reading today, we hear of how the community of believers were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. Sounds like that of Adam and Eve in the beginning. It is a utopian way of living. It is a way of life we were meant to live from the beginning. Is it possible that it could still happen today? Yes, it is. The apostles worked it out very well. There was no needy person among them because they distributed to each according to need. The church continues in their work, relying on the generosity of people. Take the DSA, for example. Donations of the many are directed to those who are in need. Our parish is another example. Donations of time and money to supply the people with what they need. The problem that comes with this way of life are those who would take advantage of it, those who are attached to the way of the world. There is good news, though. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Life is a very fickle thing if we do not live it for the Lord. We all go astray like sheep and follow our own way. How many different ways are there? As many as there are people that have been born. But do we gather on Sunday to follow any of those? None but one. We gather on Sundays to follow the one who was born of flesh from the divine. For this is the day of the Lord, and a day of rest in the Lord for us, and thus we are obligated to observe it. It is on this day, the second Sunday of Easter, the octave of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, and every subsequent Sunday, that we recognize that death itself was conquered and heaven was opened for us in the resurrection. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? As faithful Christians, we know it is life that we receive. It is life that we support. It is life that we celebrate. And it is life that we propagate. Death no longer has any power over us if we but follow the Lord. And the good news is, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In St. John's first letter, we hear that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. And everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. It is in keeping his commandments that we are not attaching ourselves to the way of the world. John tells us that the love of God is this, keeping his commandments, and that in love, his commandments are not burdensome, for it is in love that we need to keep the commandments to conquer the world. It is the believer in Jesus Christ as a Son of God who is the victor over the world. And if we are of this faith, that Jesus is the begotten Son of God, that we keep his commandments, that we love the children of God, we can conquer the world. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. And he has good news. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Gospel of John gives us a view on the one hand of how easy it is to follow the way of the world, and on the other hand, how we can be in the world and conquer it. In the beginning, we find the disciples in the upper room behind locked doors. Why were they there? Because they were thinking miserably and fearfully. They were in fear of the Jews and what might happen to them if they were discovered. They knew that if Jesus was put to death, that it was a good possibility that the same fate would befall them. So they hid out of sight of the Jews and had a dim view of the future. Jesus was the one they thought who was going to conquer the Romans, but he was put to death. All the years that the disciples spent with him, they did not understand that he had to rise from the dead. So fear set in, and the world was getting its way. But soon they would hear the good news. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't until Jesus stood in their midst on the evening of the first day of the week and said to them, "Peace be with you," did they understand that the mission of Jesus was not complete. If they had any doubt of the real presence of Jesus, it was dispelled by the showing of his hands and his side. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." It was at this time that he added, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He then breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Is this not the mission of Jesus, to forgive us our sins and reconcile us to the Father? This is now the mission of his disciples, to forgive us our sins and reconcile us to the Father through Jesus Christ. If ever there was evidence for the sacrament of confession, it is this. If the coming of Jesus was enough, why is there need for the disciples to forgive? It is for our sake that we may be saved by the real presence of Christ through the person of Christ and the priest who is in our midst, because we know the Spirit is in him. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The conquering of the world has begun in this good news. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thomas, on the other hand, is not joining that thought. He doesn't believe because he has not seen. And do you not find it interesting that Thomas uses the very thing that Jesus shows the other disciples, that of his hands and side, to verify Jesus in the flesh? In fact, he doesn't want to just see them. He wants to put his finger into the wounds of Jesus' hands and his hand into Jesus' side. This is thinking miserably and fearfully, allowing doubt to enter as is the way of the world. Well, it was on the octave of Easter, the eighth day, what we come to know as Divine Mercy Sunday, that Thomas got to hear those words, "Peace be with you." This was also behind locked doors, as it was a week earlier. And Jesus invites Thomas to do just as Thomas suggested. "Put your finger into my wounds and your hand into my side." And he tells him, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas's response is a response given by all believers right to the point. "My Lord and my God." He accepts the good news. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's not hard to find ourselves amongst the way of the world when we are lost in the way of the world. We are supposed to be in the world, not of the world. Jesus tells us earlier in the Gospel of John, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. If you were of the world would love what is its own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have spoken to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also." In this, we have no doubt. This is why he lived for us. This is why he died for us. This is why he rose from the dead for us, that we may be with him who conquered death, because he is the author of life. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I have been telling you of the good news all along, yet we still find ourselves in the midst of death. This good news is our hope, and hope does not disappoint. Praise God, your response has been that of the foundation of our faith, that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. For if he had not rose from the dead, our faith would be in vain, and we'd sound pretty silly today. But we have recently experienced the passion and death of Jesus, so we know death is not unfamiliar to us. It is a consequence of sin. And by choosing to sin, we have brought death into the world. And in death, we are a miserable and fearful people. We see death in many ways. And in many ways, we refuse to see death. Some are ways that we think wrong about. For instance, reproductive rights. Some are ways that we are taught wrong about, as in vitro fertilization. Some are ways and ideologies and the consequences death for us, as in a superior race. Some are ways in which we sacrifice our children so we may live as we wish. We see death in other ways too. Some are ways in that the character of a person dies through gossip. We see it in moral decay, in the acceptance of vices and the suppression of virtues. We see it by the destruction of the nuclear family. We see it by the confusion of gender ideology. We see it in political correctness, self-identification, imperialism, and definitely in war. And all of it man-made through our miserable and fearful thinking. In His divine mercy, through whom we were fearfully and wonderfully made, we can eliminate the man-made possibilities of death, even eternal death of the soul, by placing our trust in Jesus. O necessary sin of Adam, which brought us so glorious a Redeemer. In His rising from the dead, Christ destroyed death and restored life. Let us cry out to Him, not turn away from Him. This has all been written that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, we may have life in His name. Now, if we are true believers, we will want to tell of this good news and how death has been conquered by His rising from the dead. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. So, being of one heart and mind, a unified church, the bride of Christ, every voice in concert will proclaim the good news together.
He has risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.